Mr. Chair, allow me to congratulate you on your role as chair of the GGE Laws, as these are the first formal sessions of this year. We highly appreciate your leadership and your effort to organize these meetings. The Netherlands hopes substantive progress can be made, as it is necessary that we respond to the possible challenges arising in the area of laws. Important work has already been done in the previous years, such as the adoption of the guiding principles, but also during the latest informal consultations for possible recommendations. With regards to the way forward, our delegation sees four work areas in which further progress can be made, as identified by Chile last year and reflected in the recent US paper, which was reported by the UK, Japan, Australia, and Canada. Our delegation hopes that we can make use of the opportunity of the present sessions to make substantive progress on the application of international humanitarian law, human responsibility, human-machine interaction, and weapons reviews. Besides the US paper, the Franco-German paper also provides a very welcome basis for further discussion in our joint effort to find further convergence on the aforementioned four work areas and other challenges in a run-up to the CCW REF conference. Mr. Chair, on agenda point 5A, my delegation would like to make a few remarks on some of the challenges raised, as well on the practical measures to address these challenges. The Netherlands is pleased to note that the views of high contracting parties have converged on the application of IHL to autonomous weapon systems in line with the guiding principles agreed, as also reflected in many, if not all, of the written contributions for possible recommendations. For the Netherlands, this convergence is the starting point of the normative framework that applies to laws, which incorporates not only the entire body of international humanitarian law, but also includes other relevant areas of international law, including international human rights law. Another important working area is human responsibility. Most high contracting parties agree that accountability in connection with the development, deployment, and decision-making concerning the use of laws must be retained by humans and cannot be transferred to machines. Human-machine interaction and meaningful human control are vital to ensure humans remain accountable for decisions about the use of force and to ensure compliance with IHL. Different studies, including a study by CIPRI and the ICRC, have shown that the necessary type and degree of control is context-specific and may vary according to the specific environment in which the weapon is deployed, as well as the type of weapon system itself. In guaranteeing meaningful human control, the Netherlands is of the view that high contracting parties should confirm that, as a minimum, the following elements are necessary. Humans make informed, conscious decisions about the use of weapons. Humans have sufficient information to ensure that force is used in accordance with the requirements of international law, given what they know about the target, the weapon, and the context in which the weapon is deployed. Lastly, the weapon is designed and tested in a realistic operational environment, and humans are properly trained to ensure that the weapon is deployed in a judicious manner. In this context, allow me also again to draw attention to the work of UNIDIR in their publication entitled The Human Element in Decisions About the Use of Force. The iceberg diagram provides a comprehensive overview of the human role in military decision-making at the strategic, operational, and tactical levels. Such a diagram can be a useful tool in our work to further conceptualize recommendations for a possible normative and operational framework in the area of laws. Mr. Chair, it has become clear that high contracting parties recognize that some form of meaningful, sufficient, or appropriate human control throughout the entire life cycle of a lethal autonomous weapon system is necessary in order to comply with IHL. This includes various stages of the targeting cycle. On the extent of the level and type of human control necessary, further discussion is required. Besides human control, high contracting parties recognize the importance of legal weapons reviews. In the study development, acquisition, or adoption of a new weapon, means, or method of warfare, states are under an obligation to determine whether its employment would, in some or all circumstances, be prohibited by international law. Armed forces must implement this determination by adopting a legal review process for all new weapons, means, and methods of warfare, as well as for all modifications to existing weapons, means, and methods of warfare. The Netherlands is pleased to see that more and more states acknowledge the important role of legal reviews. Legal reviews, such as those in accordance with Article 36 of Additional Protocol 1 to the Geneva Conventions, provide a suitable framework to determine whether a new weapon system, means or methods of warfare can be used in compliance with international law. During these and future sessions, we should try to exchange views more concretely on how legal reviews can be carried out in the area of laws, as enabling technologies, such as AI, have raised new challenges in carrying out legal review procedures. Where possible, states should share information on how to address these challenges. Thank you, Mr. Chair.